I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
Let's go to Julia Lazarus. Did she come up with Marion Jones? She's shaking her head. Why? She was going for somebody else, and I can't figure out who. Gail?
I can't figure out who either.
You lost $37.99. That drops you down to $14,801. Let's go to Ken Jennings. And even 20 grand going into final. Who is Jones? And we will accept that in terms of female athletes. There aren't that many. And you've got $17,201 more for a $37,201 total. And you become the Jeopardy champion.
We're back again with Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings, author of the book Because I Said So, The Truth Behind the Myths, Tales, and Warnings Every Generation Passes Down to Its Kids, right here on the TV Time Machine. Ken, in that first game, when you saw the final Jeopardy category, the 2000 Olympics, were you confident you would nail it?
I was so happy. I was like, the Olympics! Great! I always watch the Olympics obsessively. And then suddenly I realized, wait a second, 2000 is Sydney. And I realized that was the week my wife and I had been on our honeymoon. We were in London. I don't think I had seen a single event.
Wow.
And at that point I thought, this is it, I'm done.
Well, ultimately, though, you got the answer right. But you wrote down Jones was the answer to the question. I don't remember the specific question.
Something about Marion Jones having won the most U.S. medals or something.
Right, and Alex Trebek said, we'll accept that, because you didn't write Marion Jones, you just wrote Jones. So
yeah, is my quiz bowl training kicking in? You always put the you always only say the last name, because what if you misremembered the first name? Don't give yourself another chance to get it wrong. And I didn't even realize till that awkward pause that I had just written, who is Jones? It sounded like I was just guessing a name, you know?
Right.
And suddenly I panicked. What if there are two Joneses? What if there are 10 Joneses, you know? Am I going to lose on Jeopardy because of a mental mistake like that? And luckily it turns out she was the only women's track and field Jones or something, and they decided to take it. I breathed a big sigh of relief. I later found out, by the way, that the woman next to me who was challenging me had also been on her honeymoon at the time of the Olympics.
Geez.
And that's why she got it wrong.
Now, you mentioned before the mid-game chit-chat, which is always a highlight of the show, of course. You thanked some unusual folks.
Ken Jennings, software engineer from Salt Lake City, Utah, wants to thank somebody on television. Who is this person you want to thank?
I don't know if they're likely to be big Jeopardy watchers, but I'd like to thank Fuzzy the truck driver and the two drunk teenagers, because they were the ones who gave me a ride when I was stranded in the middle of the Nevada desert a few years ago. So,
are you implying that drunk teenagers and truck drivers are not likely to be Jeopardy fans? Is that what you're telling this national audience?
I'm sure they're your biggest demographic.
You bet they are.
Tell us about Fuzzy, the truck driver, and the two teenagers in Nevada.
This is actually a story from back in the Quiz Bowl days. We were driving back from a tournament, I think at Berkeley maybe, and somebody screwed up and we ran out of gas in the middle of nowhere, Battle Mountain, Nevada, and had to hitchhike like 30 miles back to town to get gas. And we got helped by a very kind truck driver named Fuzzy going one way, and on the way back, a couple of drunk teenagers who had been out all night and probably should not have been driving, much less giving rides. And I don't know if that's a great story, but I didn't have some great some great story. I didn't know I was going to need 75 of these. And that was the story on the first day. And of course, Trevette got, it was very, what you want to do is let him sort of be funny or his equivalent of funny. And he sort of says, well, what do you mean you don't think these people watch Jeopardy? You don't think that's our demographic? He does his thing.
Yes, what is he like? What is Alex Trebek like in real life?
I think people watch the show and get the feeling that he might be a little stiff and dull or even sort of smug, like he's, because his job is to tell people they're wrong and then to tell them the right answer, So I think for some people he comes off as a bit of a know-it-all. But in person, that's just something he does for the game, to keep the game going. In person, he's quite loose and funny, and during commercial breaks, he'll just be telling jokes or doing accents. I see him do little bits of soft shoe, which was sort of surprising. In person, he's much more like your sort of goofy uncle where you never know what he's going to do next at Thanksgiving. That's how I think of Trebek.
So at that point, you were on your way. You started your streak.
When did the media really start noticing what was happening? And what was that media attention like for you?
It was a slow build. I mean, for one thing, you know, Jeopardy's not live every night. 40 of those shows had been taped before any of them aired.
Right.
So I was keeping this crazy secret. I was having to fly back to L.A. in secret a couple times a month and not, you know, my boss was covering for me at work and my wife knew, but I was trying not to tell anybody else just to try to keep it under wraps so that they'd have more fun with it when it came out. And so I was living this weird double life, having to, you know, fly to L.A. for 2 days, win 10 Jeopardy games and some insane amount of money, and then, you know, fly back to work and go to the morning staff meeting and pretend I cared and not be able to say anything. When the show started to air, it was sort of a very slow avalanche thing where Jeopardy did no publicity at all and just sort of let it happen. Because I think they didn't know, is it going to be good for the show? Is this going to kill Jeopardy? Are people going to turn on us because we have this same nerdy guy on every night? I thought nothing would come of it. I thought this is going to be a lot of fun, but nobody cares who wins on Jeopardy. My wife and I had a bet. The over-under was maybe 10 people will recognize me, you know?
Right.
I didn't think it would be a big deal. The lady at Costco checking my Costco card, she was the first one to notice. And I thought, hey, that's fun. That's one. And I really had no idea it was going to turn into this water cooler thing.
Did you ever imagine that the streak would last as long as it did?
No. You know, like I said, I was surprised to win one game. I was happy after one. I was like, great. Yeah. I can lose any of these and go home. And now I'm a guy who won Jeopardy. How great is that? It really was just sort of a weird stretching of the laws of probability. And I've looked back at some of those games, and there's at least a dozen where if one question goes a different way, I lose that day. And through a trick of the odds, more luck than skill, things just fell right, and it turned into this freakish thing. And of course, then, you know, the contestant who's been there for weeks has this weird home court advantage over all the fresh meat that they're bringing in. You know, you've done this before, you've got experience, right. You don't have stage fright. So it really was an unlevel playing field.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. During your streak, what was the most important thing that you learned about game playing technique?
You know, this is something I had known watching at home, but you really want to put the game away early. You don't want to leave it up to Final Jeopardy, because even good players miss many Final Jeopardies, you know, like just watching at home, I miss a Final Jeopardy or two every week. You know, you want to have it locked up. So, you know, be aggressive early. If you find a daily double, you're probably going to know it. You know, it's okay to bet big on daily doubles. And that actually paid off for many months.
You mentioned the buzzer before. Tell us about the buzzer. How important is the mastery of the buzzer?
The buzzer is huge. You know, people watch the show and they think, well, how come that one lady knows all the answers and the other two are just standing there? Actually, you know, all three of them have passed a very hard test to be there. That most of them know most of the answers. Nearly all of them, I would say, know the answer nearly all the time. But one person has figured out the timing of the buzzer better. You can't buzz in as soon as you know it. You have to wait for Alex to finish reading the question. And at that point, some guy manually flips a switch and activates your buzzer. So you're trying to read that guy's mind. You know, you're trying to, if you buzz too early, you actually lock yourself out for a fraction of a second. And that's what you see people doing when they're jamming up.
Right.
They got nervous and they buzzed a bit early. Of course, if you buzz too late, the person next to you is going to beat you.
Right.
So you're trying to find this very tiny sweet spot. You know, maybe let Alex finish reading the question, just pause a fraction of a second, maybe one extra syllable, and then, you know, hammer on it as if your life depended on it. And it was just a matter of finding a rhythm. And when it turned out, when I didn't think about it, I'd sort of internalized it from decades of watching Jeopardy. So if I didn't think about it, I could sort of find the rhythm. And if I tried to think about what I was doing, like a golfer thinking about his swing, I just started to miss it.
You're right. And some people never get it. You see people frantically hitting that button, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and nothing's happening.
And think how nerve-wracking that must be. I'm sure they get more and more worked up and, you know, less and less precise because I know all these answers, but my button's not working. It's tough.
That's hell.
I later felt that way against the evil IBM computer. That's
right.
I have now been in that person's shoes.
That's true. Speaking of the IBM computer, yes, Watson, how did that come about?
from what I understand, it was an IBM initiative. They were watching me on Jeopardy. This is the story I've heard. And they thought, you know, maybe this should be our thing. You know, we beat Kasparov at chess. Why can't we beat this guy at Jeopardy? And they contacted the show. And over a period of years, they managed to, you know, starting from nothing, no computer was good at answering questions 5 years ago. You know, this was something that no technology could do. So they were starting from scratch. And in a matter of years, they had, you know, you pour thousands of servers and tens of millions of development dollars at a problem, terabytes of memory from the internet, you know, a huge text bank. And they got very good. I got a phone call saying, would you like to come back on Jeopardy and play a computer? And I was so excited. You know, I'm a former computer programmer myself.
Right.
It just felt like being part of the future. You know, this is something that people are going to be remembering in textbooks someday. I had to do it.
Watson is in command right now. He makes the selection as we continue the round.
Final frontiers for 400.
From the Latin for end, this is where trains can also originate. Watson.
What is finis?
No. Ken.
What's a terminus?
Terminal, yes.
Let's go literary character APB for 1,000.
Wanted for stealing a loaf of bread in Les Misérables. Really, really wanted for other thefts, too. Watson.
Who is Jean Valjean?
Correct.
Let's go to name the decade for 1,000.
The first modern crossword puzzle is published and Oreo cookies are introduced. Ken.
What are the 20s?
No. Watson.
What is 1920s?
No, Ken said that.
Well, you mentioned that you majored in computer science. How would you assess Watson, his programming, and were his thought processes logical?
You know, I'm no artificial intelligence expert, but I took a few classes and I knew that there was no computer that could play Jeopardy yet. Watson was a huge breakthrough. And the funny thing is when I read about some of Watson's strategies, what it would do when it looked at a Jeopardy clue, you know, picking out the keywords, making connections between them, finding concepts that related to all of those, checking that possible answer against the right time period, the right geography. You know, these all seemed like things that I was doing as I was reading a Jeopardy question. So it wasn't just simulating Jeopardy play with some brute force technique. You know, it was actually doing the same tricks that a good human player would do. And I was deeply impressed by that.
But ultimately, was it a fair fight?
Watson had this speed edge that no human could be. You know, on the buzzer, a computer will have perfect reflexes every time. And it just turned out that no human reflexes could beat it consistently. I mean, it's amazing they could answer all those questions, but both of the human players could have answered more. We just, again, weren't fast enough.
Ultimately, what did you learn and conclude from competing with Watson? Are we really going to get to the point where, just like a lot of old movies and TV shows depicted, computers are going to take over the world, take over us?
People kept asking me that. Is this like the computer in 2001? You know, is this like the computer in Terminator? You know, everyone seemed worried that as soon as it went on a game show, this thing was going to get the missile launch codes.
Right.
I wasn't expecting that feeling of obsolescence, you know, as I stood there, you know, doing the one thing that I'd ever been good at and suddenly realizing that all it took was enough processor speed and now I was out of a job, you know. And I think that's going to be happening more and more. People with what they thought were safe information age jobs are suddenly finding that computers can now be pharmacists or paralegals or whatever it is. And suddenly a lot of this brain work is just going to be gone. And it was sort of a hollow feeling, you know, sort of an existential nightmare that this flat screen TV next to me is better than me. It's the only thing I know how to do.
We're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings, author of the book Because I Said So, The Truth Behind the Myths, Tales, and Warnings Every Generation Passes Down to Its Kids, who is riding along with us on the TV Time Machine.